Well, good morning, SSS4. Well, welcome back to Bethany after a wonderful time of worship and celebration at Shang last week. Well, last week, we not only celebrated Bethany's 40 plus 6 anniversary, but we also got to witness the ordination of the two bands. And SSS4 is the only Sunday school class that has three pastors. Three ordained pastors. And, you know, it was a very stirring time for me personally. And I'm sure for all the pastors in training. And maybe for all of us. You know, and can I share with you this morning why it was so stirring? It was because, as what pastor said, over the years, they have grown up well. And in terms of ministry, they are turning out well. And that is something that I wish for. That is something that I pray for myself. You know, and I guess all of us wish to turn out well. You know, as parents, maybe you wish for your children to turn out well as well. Well, this morning, can I share with you three thoughts from Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 to 13? These three thoughts, as I met up with Pastor, it really crystallized and helped me understand. You know, if we want to turn out well, what help can we receive? You know, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, it reads, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." You know, the first thought that I'd like to share with all of us this morning is this word, warning. The author of Hebrews warned his readers not to fall like the children of Israel did in the past. For them, it was the problem of disobedience. And that came about because of the heart that they had. It was a hardened heart. It was a heart that became corrupted. It was a heart that was not good. It did not remain good. But they fell. You know, in ministry, I've become beginning to see more and more how the heart can be corrupted. And that is something that I do not want for myself. And so the first word, going back to the word, to receive warning. What not to do, what not to become. But not just that. But when we consider how the heart can be hardened, how the heart can be made disobedient, I recognize that I cannot help my own heart. I cannot assess and judge my own heart. And I'm just so thankful that we have the Word of God. In verse 12, "For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is living and powerful. And that vitality and that energy is what makes it possible for the word to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. You know, so we have warning, we have the Word of God, but one more thing, behind the Word of God is actually God Himself. And in verse 13, it reads, "There is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." God Himself is watching us. You know, and when I consider God Himself watching me, then it stirs the heart and it spurs me to want to live more carefully. You know, I really want to be able to give an account to Him one day and not with shame. Definitely not shame. And so how can we turn out well? You know, three thoughts this morning. Warning that we must heed, the word of God that has been preserved for us, and knowing that God Himself is behind it all, watching us. You know, the song that I've chosen for us this morning is a new song. I'm not sure how many of you know it. I did not know it before I turned to the Century Praise this week. But I learned this song. And, you know, as I thought about the lyrics, five verses, it's a short chorus, actually. It really helped me appreciate all over again the Word of God that we have. Ah, so this is actually what I am seeing myself. So for those of you that can read notes, do sightseeing. those of you that can catch the tune easily, Dr. Daniel was saying that it's a simple tune. But I really hope that, you know, beyond the music, the lyrics, you know, as we sing it, as we dwell on the words, may this be something that brings encouragement to our own hearts this morning. Well, let's take this song together.
Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for all the things which come our way, moments of joy, also moments where we are challenged in our heart, in our mind, you know, continue to lead and to bless. And we pray that you will encourage our hearts to do our part faithfully in understanding what it means to give, in understanding what it means to support. And we pray that you will bless as we read your word this morning. Encourage our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for your understanding, your patience, and thank you for the love gift. But I thought this is absolutely appropriate. Well, let's turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 4, and chapter 5 now, going forward a little bit. Okay, and we talk about the ministry, about the high priest ministry. It's going to be 1, 2, 3 kind of thing here. So it's not going to be straightforward at all. But in order to understand the high priestly ministry, we need to go back to the Old Testament a little bit. Okay? So let's look at chapter 5. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed. Right? For men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer gifts, both gifts and sacrifices for sins. See, a lot of times we don't really understand gift giving. We think we just give. Actually, it's not. Things pertaining to God. See, we have to ask ourselves, what do we mean by things pertaining to God? Gift giving is one of the things mentioned. So we're going to take a look at what this is all about this morning, okay? That he may offer gifts and sacrifices, okay? Now, what are gifts and what are sacrifices? We have to distinguish, right? So what is a gift? Now, out there, they're advertising a little film called Dora. Dora is the word gift. That's what it really is. So when you say a gift, oh, Dora, that's what it means. So how do we understand a gift? Now, we need to go back to all the way to Deuteronomy. And this is where it is. I think that is important. Okay, Deuteronomy 26. Right? So verse 26, 1, we read, God is giving you as an inheritance. First, it is God's gift. We have to understand this correctly. 26:1. What we give is actually the Lord's gift to us first. I mean, this is the most basic of understanding. How are we able to give? Because God gave it to us first. That helps when we give. So it's not really ours to give, ours to use. And we are returning to the Lord what he has originally given. Right? So this is something that we want to understand. So that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you bring from your land, put it in a basket, go to the place where God chooses to make his name abide. And there you shall go to the one who is priest in those days, and then you make your declaration. I declare today to the Lord your God. Right? Now, this is absolutely important. and come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers. Then the priest shall take the basket out of your hand, set it down before the altar of the Lord, and you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. Now, this is an important part of the ritual of giving. What is the ritual of giving? This is very important. Let's take a look. The offering of 26:3-9. You must say, my father was a Syrian about to perish. He went down to Egypt, dwelt there, few in number, became a nation, great, mighty, populous. Right? And then we went on. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm. And he has brought us to this place and has given us his land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, behold, I brought the first fruits of the land which the Lord has given me. And there I set it before the Lord and I worship before the Lord your God. That is an important part of giving. So every time I give, one, you remember the past. Right? Remember, it was the Lord who gave. Remember, it was the Lord who protected, the Lord who provided, the Lord who blessed, the Lord who has done all those things. Once you see it along these lines, giving is not a pain, no matter the amount. Right? I mean, I've always wanted to be able to give something special to the Lord. And it's just wonderful joy, okay? This is given to the Lord's work. What a joy, right? So it's not the amount, it is the history. Where was I when I was younger? Not there. A wandering Syrian. This is a reference to Jacob, actually. About to perish. No family, nothing. I had nothing. And then the Lord brought me into the land. And then into Egypt, they ill-treated us. Then we're going into this land now. It's all the Lord's protection. When you think about giving along those lines, it makes a lot of difference. It's not hard to give then. If you remember, actually it all comes from the Lord. Remember how it was in the poor. And the Lord enabled us to have all these things. A land flowing with milk and honey. So, what's the big deal about giving back? I remember one story, the person said, you know, Lord, when I first started out, I had $1,000, my salary. It was not hard, you know, to give $100 every month. Not hard. Now, my salary is $500,000. So, you know what? I very hard to give that $50,000. So God said, I can bring you back to your thousand if you want. Okay, now you get the point. See, sometimes we forget. It's easy to give when we have little. It is harder to give because you add the zeros. But think about it. When you give with a heart, remembering, grateful, thankful for what God has given, I think that is something that's really, really important. You know, at the wedding recently, I met one of the fathers there. So he looked very tired. He looked very haggard. He looked quite sickly. So I asked him, are you all right? He said, yeah, I'm good. So I asked the son, how was your father? I wanted to call him uncle. I said, no, he's younger than me by quite a few years. See, so sometimes we forget. We really forget how the Lord has blessed. So sometimes I don't know how I feel. What am I supposed to feel at my age? I don't even understand what my age really means. I just want to live each day thankfully, gratefully, whatever the Lord gives to us. Right? You cannot say, hey, you cannot feel wrong feelings, wrong thoughts towards other people who are not as strong. Yeah, but you just thank God for whatever He has given. That's His grace, that is His love, that relive with joy rather than to live not so good. But so when we give, if we can remember what the Lord has done for us, giving is much, much easier. Right? This is what the priest's role is. He must instruct the people on how to give. Right? Now, go on further, Deuteronomy 26. Okay? Now, look at verse 12. That's the first part of this is called the first fruits. Now, verse 11. You shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house. So that's the first fruit. What God has given more than first fruits. Do we know how to rejoice in what we have? Right? This is very important. We must learn to rejoice in every good thing. It does not matter if you drive a small car. That is still a good thing. There are others who don't have the small car. Thank God for whatever, every good thing. I think that's important. I think this is something. We rejoice in every good thing. You, the Levite, the stranger who is among you. Then, verse 12, another way of giving. When you have finished laying aside all the tithe of your increase in the third year. Oh, this is planned giving, you know. Right? So there is first fruit giving. See, the priest must instruct. Otherwise, they won't know. So this one is the first part of it. Second part of it is, I want to give out of rejoicing. Thirdly, every third year when the things increase. Why third year? Well, because when you sow, it takes literally 3 years to find that kind of benefit. This is old agrarian technology, not like GMO kind of a stuff here. In the early days, you allow for 3 years for the things to be there. So you sow, you take the seed, and then you wait again, you sow again, and then again, and by the time the third year comes, the produce will be excellent yield. Don't forget the increase that God has given here. It's called the year of tithing. Now, that's a different way of giving. To whom do we give? Now, this is something that I've always wanted to practice. To the stranger. This is very important. Right? To the stranger. So, helping people the person is a stranger to me. That's okay. So even as I write to you, just share with you this morning, somebody wrote, and the pastor, one of our teachers there, the sister, the doctor has already called everybody, come because he's dying, she's dying. So can you please help? I said, of course. Right? To the stranger, I don't know the person. To the fatherless, to the widow, that they may eat and be filled. Right? It's not that $5 that you give to the person who, on Saturdays. And you put a little sticker so you won't be bothered by the others. So if you go to town, they come and collect. Whatever it is. It's not. It is as your Lord has blessed, so you can do that. Right? And you must be able to declare, verse 13, you shall say before the Lord your God, I have removed the holy tithe from my house. This tithe is not your usual 10% kind of stuff. It's not. This is a special thing. It's called a holy tithe from my house. I've given them to the Levite, the servant of the Lord, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all your commandments. You know what? And I have not transgressed, nor have I forgotten them. Wow. So if I take it back, I would have transgressed. I can't. I would have sinned against the Lord. I can't. Because it is a holy tithe dedicated to the Lord. Now this is a kind of special tithing. Not your usual tithing. This one is after the first fruit's been given. The increase has been noted. Every blessing has been there. This is specially set aside for the Lord's work. And that's what it is. Right? This is something that we really... So, I have not eaten any of it in mourning, have removed it for unclean use or whatever. I have done everything. Now, we may ask the Lord to bless. Right? Now, this is how giving works. So the priest's task is to instruct them how to give, not just to receive. Right? This one, first fruit, this one, specially set aside, this one, out of joy, and so on and so forth. We teach along the way. And that is how the Lord must bless. And He will bless wonderfully. See, so this is the task of the, so we have giving of the tithe, giving to the poor, the needy, and then we may ask for that blessing. That is how we give. Right? So thank God for every good gift that has come from the Lord. And we acknowledge it is from the Lord. And we will utilize funds properly. This is why we have to fight for the things which have been given. You cannot just let people take it, because this will dishonor the Lord. If we let people write all over us and think they can take that which is not theirs to take. Okay? This is absolutely important. Okay? Now, let's go into the New Testament example now. And 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is the other text that we need to look at. To help us to understand chapter 8 and how these things will work out. Okay? And this is something that we want to thank God for. See, these are the churches of Macedonia. Paul was asked to go to Macedonia. At that time, at a point of time, this is not the Greeks of the Macedonian in the days of Philip the Macedonian. They were powerful then, not in the time of Paul. They had been conquered by the Romans, and they were no longer powerful, they're no longer rich. Right? So this is what they did. How did they give? Chapter 8 and verse 1. It is by the grace of God. Now it is important we understand that this is the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Right? But in midst of the grace that was given, they also had great trial of affliction. There were problems. Christians were persecuted. They were treated very poorly by those who didn't believe. But there was something special. There was abundance of joy. Now that is special. When giving must be out of joy. If giving is a pain, don't give it. Anytime giving is a pain, and every time you put your money and then you watch the offering bag saying goodbye to the money, don't give it. That should never be the way that we go. Okay? And now watch this. Abundance of the joy and deep poverty. My good. Three things. They were not rich. Giving is not only for the rich. It is for the mature. It is for those who understand. Can you see this? And so, and their deep poverty. But it abounded in the riches of their liberality. Giving is with liberality. It's not about, okay, we give for the sake of the sum of no. It's never and never it. In any way, at any time. The giving is because we have learned how to have liberality of heart and our understanding of generosity that we read in Deuteronomy 26. And Paul says, I bear witness according to their ability. In fact, beyond their ability, they were freely willing. What does it mean by beyond ability? Now that's special. Beyond ability, it may be that they will sell whatever they may have in their house. So it's more than just, see, in those days they don't really have banks. So whatever they have, they buy things made of silver, made of gold, whatever it is, that then they keep it in the house. Right? So there is a monthly income or daily income, as the case may be, and they will give whatever they can. And then they say, but listen, we want to give some more because there are other people worse than us. Well, listen, I have a silver platter here. I'm going to sell that. See, beyond their ability. What can we make do with wooden stuff? Don't need the silver. Just give it away. I think this is something that we need to understand. So George Mueller had to learn that lesson. So when they first started out, you know, the number of people who attended the church was very small. And every month grew smaller. So when people would give support, they put into the offering, there's a little box there for the pastor. And then some Sundays, there's nothing inside. Really nothing inside. So he says, I cannot blame the people. Look at me, they don't even understand my English. Right? So he was from the old country. So he says, let's not blame the Lord. It's only I'm surprised they would even come to church. Don't even talk about giving. And he accepted it. The wife said, fine, let me do my part. See, when we got married, this is what my family gave me. I will take all our dinner sets and sell to support themselves before the Lord met their needs. In time to come, God will pour millions of pounds into their hands, but they had learned how to handle, understand money properly, so they were safe. That's what happened. Right? So they learned how to give like that, and then they were freely willing. Verse 4, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift. Wow, that is special. What does that mean? So Paul must have been a bit alarmed. You are giving so much, but you don't have enough. And they said, please, we beg you, please receive this gift. We want to have the fellowship with all the saints elsewhere. That is why they give. Out of maturity, out of liberality, out of generosity, out of fellowship with the people. And that is absolutely important. So Paul then received the gift. Verse 5, not only as we had hope, and it was beyond their hope, and I think that was really, really, really special. And this is what happened. Why did they give the way they did? And he said, they first gave themselves to the Lord. Secondly, and then to us. And finally, it's the will of God. First, they gave themselves to the Lord. Next, they saw Paul in ministry. We're giving to your ministry. We want to support you every way we can. And this, we see, is the will of God. That is giving. And it is not in any way less than that of Deuteronomy 26. 26 is a historical background. This is a national thing. Most of the people won't have that. They won't have a national background of the Jews. But they had all these things. And to me, that is outstanding. In more ways than one. Right? So this is something that is really, 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 really special. And I think that's something that we don't want to take for granted. You know, and this morning I was just very, very deeply touched. You know, when a gift of tea leaves came. And I don't know, how come these tea leaves? They were Bible verses. Which tea company would actually print Bible verses on their thing? The people took the trouble to print Bible verses on little tiny canisters of tea. So the original would be, you know, what you see out there, Collyer Quay tea, Nonya Kueh tea, and things like that. The original taste is there, but the inscription is specially done. Wow. You see, so it's not the tea, but it's just going to taste so much better, much more fragrant, a bit more aromatic, because you take a look, wow, there's a Bible verse there. There's an inheritance part of it. There's a fellowship of it, of it all. See, it is just going to be, and this one can bring along when I travel. So you can put it into a canister, keep it there, and have a little bit of tea there to remember the people. So, wow, I think, see, these are the little touches. That is what Paul is talking about giving. Giving is never just money. It's the relationship with the Macedonians. It's to see their heart. It's to see their spirit. It is to see the very soul of the people. This is what giving is all about. This is where the meaning is. Okay? So I want to tell you that I'm wearing a pair of shoes that you all give to me today. Come and admire them. For glory and for beauty. Well, that's what it is. So I thought, hey, now this is interesting. I never had a pair of shoes like that ever. So it's taken me nearly 70 years to have the first pair of shoes made like that. Well, it's not in vain. Waited for 70 years, and the man waited for 70 years too. So, I mean, you know, it's such a joy. It's not so much as it. It's just the whole point of it all. First, they give themselves to the Lord. Suddenly, they give themselves to Paul and company. And I think that is really, really, this is important. Okay? To be able to give out of poverty, it's really real. Now, what to me is striking is that not all gifts are accepted. Now, that's interesting. Now, I've seen people, there was one person who came up to me many, many years ago when Bethany needed the money. And the person said, Pastor, I want to give a love gift for Bethany. I know your church needs this money. Can I give it to you? So I said, can I do what I need to do? Can you just tell me where the source of funds came from? He was going to give $65,000. So I said, can you tell me? He says, race horsing. So I said, thank you. Cannot accept this money. Really? You really don't want it? Yes, I don't want it. Do I even regret it? No. Never going to take, cannot do this. Right? There was another person who came to me, and this person was a new person in church, drove to my house. I was not well then. He came over and he said, came with a wife who doesn't come to church. Anyway, he came over and he said, this gift for you. Why are you giving me a gift? He says, well, this is to help you get better. And then he came to ask, can I serve in church? Now, the person not even a member. The person said, can I be one of your teachers? Huh? Since when? And it was a big five-figure check. And I said, thank you, no thank you, and please do not come. Church is not going to be open to you. Not ever. And so when we built Bethany 3, he wrote to me, don't attend this. Older pastors, more experienced pastors than you would not even dare to dream to do a Bethany 3. You already got a 5-story, why do an 8-1? Don't do it. It'll be a big hole and you'll be buried there. Well, this is Bethany 4. He died rather than me. It's kind of sad. And he had a sudden heart attack and then he just passed on. Don't do this. Right? Not all gifts are accepted by the Lord. Cain's gift was rejected by the Lord. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, the gifts of the people in Israel were all rejected by the Lord. So it's not true to say that all gifts will come with blessing. That's not true. If we don't know how to receive it, we don't know how to understand it, we're going to see it going nowhere at all in any way, right? So this is something that you want to think about, and when a gift is understood properly, you know, it is something that is really, really treasured. And thank you for the way you have been supporting the retreats. Everybody thought it was just wonderful. Everybody would appreciate it, the whole thing. So that's what we want to do. Right? And that's something that we all must ever seek to cultivate our heart, our mind, our understanding concerning the matter of giving. Never just money. It must always be, is the Lord there? Can I remember the past? Where am I in the present? Is this a holy tithe? Can I give this? Do I really want to do this? Can I do it with joy? If I cannot do any of these things here, then the giving has got no meaning. Absolutely no meaning. Right? So to be one of my greatest joy is to be able to look back at what I have given, not what I have kept. To me, that is a very, very special joy in the heart. And like 2 Corinthians 8 is giving out of poverty. You know, giving out of poverty is relative. I mean, it's really, really relative when it comes to things like that. You know, I mean, what is poverty and what is wealth? It's really in your heart, in your mind, in your dream. And you just thank God for whatever we have. All right, over to you for questions, as it were. Anybody want to raise up anything about giving or the part of the priesthood? Okay. Now, this is important for us to understand. So let me refer to you one text in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you see this very, very clearly. We were taught this very, very much. Okay, it's in chapter 6, and we see. Right? So we're talking about people who teach. They don't consent to wholesome words, to the doctrine which accords with godliness. So what do they do? What are they? They're proud. They know nothing. Obsessed with disputes, arguments over words, envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicions, useless wranglings, men of corrupt mind, destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. This is what we are seeing there. So we all want to be there, as it were, appear to be godly, only to get gain. There, you see this. Unfortunately, this is not what we want to do. From such, withdraw yourself. Have nothing to do with them. Right? Godliness with contentment is great gain. We carry, brought nothing to this world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. Right? Verse 9, those who desire to be rich, now they see, there's a desire to be rich, they will fall into temptation and snare, and many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, from which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see the challenge of it all, the danger of it all? See, what's the point? See, so even when money is given, if it's not well understood, not well handled, you start loving money. Why won't you want the golden egg? Let's take the golden goose.
We've touched on sacrificial giving in the case of the Macedonian churches. Yeah. But how do you reconcile what you have been saying this morning to what Jesus said to the rich man in Matthew 19:21, where he wanted the young man to go and sell everything he had and give it away?
Yeah. That story, huh? Okay. Now that is actually what we call a test. That's really a test. Not that the Lord really wanted him to do that. You see, but he was very boastful, you know, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Okay, really? Follow me. See, that's the key word, follow me. Now, if you follow me, cannot every evening go home to your nice house to rest? Because how did Jesus walk? He walked all the way from Galilee to Jerusalem and back every day. Galilee here, Galilee there, Jerusalem here, Jerusalem there. Some days, nothing much to eat. Can you give up all those things and follow me? He thought about it very hard. See, creature comfort. We are so used to creature comfort, we don't know how to do with less. That was his problem. Not that he wanted to actually literally sell everything. So it was a little test. He didn't even pass the test. Theory test, didn't pass it. That is something that you want to look at. So sometimes you see that. So when the Lord talks about, you see, he was very, very, very full of himself. I have kept all these things here from my childhood. You know, I've kept all the laws. Listen, when you are very rich, you actually, the keeping of the Ten Commandments is really not hard. You don't have to steal. You don't have to lie. You don't have to covet because you have enough of everything. Right? So the keeping of the commandments is not hard when you are well ensconced. You are just absolutely, you don't need to want all those things that other people need or desire. Because you have everything. Okay, now that you have everything, can you give up anything? He couldn't. I really want to follow you. Really? I really want eternal life. What's stopping you? This. Money. What's stopping you? This. The heart. The heart is caught up. It can't let go. It really cannot let go. That is the problem. That is the test. Couldn't. So it's not that the Lord wants us to give. Are there people who want to give a lot of things? Yes, I always check, make sure. What about the children? What about the future? Must make sure that they will not give what they cannot give. So I have to exercise responsibility. So when people want to give what they give, we know that they can. It's a different question. But especially when they are younger, and they are so moved, and they want to give this, that, and the other. Thank you, no. Simply because they may not be wise. It's just impetuosity. It's just a zeal for the moment. It's just emotion and all that. And I made commitment. I made many promises. Stop. Don't do that. This is where I play that role. Don't get people to give when they are not able to. This is why we don't have monetary drive. We don't ask for funds. We don't ask for anything. What I look for is confirmation without saying anything. Lord, is this where you want us to go? Please confirm, and He will confirm one way or the other. And that confirmation comes wonderfully, always. Right? So these are important things for us to take note of at all times. So there is really no conflict. It's just a little test. He couldn't even pass it. He wouldn't even consider it, and he went away sorrowful. Why? Because he was so rich. I mean, this is important. Right? So we have one man called Count Zinzendorf, old school. And he had a huge estate, as in thousands of acres. That was his wealth. And then he came to know the Lord. And the first thing he did was this. He set up a church in his own grounds. Two, personally, he supported 150 missionaries on his own money. Was he poorer? No. I think this is something that we want to see. So there are people who have given. There are people, was one person, and he was an amazing servant of God. Studied at Cambridge, and one of those Cambridge canoes. His birthday, the father bought him a race horse that cost £250,000. That was his birthday gift. That kind of wealth. Father was from Indian wealth, and the British Rajas go over that side, came back in, a fortune, the trade. One day he was in China, he wrote to the sister and said, can I ask you to do something for me? Now I know that I've got several million in my account. And you know what, I'm not coming back to England. And I want to tell you what to do with it. Please take what is mine, and I want you to give it away. Now, William Carey was his name. And not that he had to. But he says, half the time I'm worrying, this investment, that investment, here I am serving the Lord in China, India, and Africa, and I'm worrying about all these things. How can I put my heart and soul into the work if I'm doing this thing? So William Carey told the sister, "And please take my millions and give it away." So not because he had to. No force, no compulsion, maturity, the heart, the soul, liberality, generosity, you name it. It's there and it's gone. I think this is something that we all need to understand. It's a cultivation. Kevin, not everybody knows how to give. Not everybody understands giving. But I like Deuteronomy 26 because, one, it gives me a tremendous theological understanding as to why am I. So I remember the past, I remember the present, I remember other people with need, I thank God that what I have, and I can give. That's, you cultivate it. Then you up it further, 2 Corinthians 8. Look at other people who are giving. Look at how they give. They have given perhaps even more. Not because in terms of dollars and cents, but because they gave out of their poverty. So when I gave, it is not, am I poorer at the end of the day? No. So what have I given out of my poverty? Nothing. So I'm not even there yet. I want to be able to continue to give. This is what one SSS for, to learn. Collectively, we can do much more. And thank God. Thank God for all. See, all the gifts that came in for all our all the door gifts, the anniversary, you know, the bag, the books, you know, and everyone was a gift. And people who were there, and they looked at it and they say, wow, really? Of course. Why? Because we have learned to have such a heart and spirit. For the fellowship of, that's what we do, so that we can see this as a fellowship of a ministry to the saints. I am in fellowship with them. That's what we want to do. Well, let's give thanks together. Our Father, we thank you for the way you have blessed our lives and given us so very, very much. And help us to think of those who are in need, and pray that you will help us to do our part to honor you, to love you, to stand with your children in their hour of need. We pray that you will teach us once again to step forward with even greater faith and understanding as we begin our 47th year. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes.